wanted each chief to come up with a topic that they wanted to drill down today, because we, you know, there's a event going on in Tinley and a lot of chiefs are tied up there. So we're just kind of hodgepodging this together. And I just thought I'd focus on what the chiefs wanted to talk about. So, Dave, what's the one topic that you wanted to focus on, bud?
Well, so I saw, you know, and I reason I bring this up because this is something that is, you know, impacted me personally. So my daughter, I get pulled over. She was a passenger. Her and a couple of girlfriends went out one night and they got pulled over. So she calls me and she was extremely frantic. And it was late at night. I was like, what's wrong? She's like, Dad, we got pulled over, but they're like three or four squads behind us, you know? And now these are three young ladies. I mean, they're early 20s, mid 20s. So, and they're good girls. All right, Dave. So she was very upset just because of the number of response vehicles for what, of course, she considered to be a routine traffic stop. So, and I know a lot of people ask this because we get it on every traffic stop. When another car shows up, or a third car, a fifth car shows up, they always want to know, well, why do you have so many cars? Like, what do we do? And does it take all this? This is the type of, these are the questions that officers get when they pull over, make traffic stops, and it happened to my daughter. So I said, you know, let me talk about that a little bit. And I had to explain this to her as well. Like, at the end of the day, this is a late night stop. You're talking about after 12 midnight, officer pulls you over for traffic. I mean, the assistant officer, if myself and Chief Lally were working tonight and she made a traffic stop, I'm coming over to back up no matter what. She don't even have to ask for me, Dave. I'm coming, right? And I'm just coming because, I mean, this, you know, this job is, and that's what I explained to my daughter. I said, honey, this job is unpredictable. It's one of the most when you talk about the unpredictability of this job, I mean, so I can't always, I mean, waiting around and waiting for someone to ask you to assist them. Sometimes, you know, it's seconds. Things can go bad in seconds. So a lot of times we do respond, you know, that secondary officer, that assisting officer comes immediately. Now, when I get there, I have a conversation with Chief Lally and say, hey, Chief, how you, you know, she might say, hey, I'm good. You know, this is it's a good traffic stop. I'm not really concerned about any criminal activity being afoot. I think I'm okay. You can, you know, if you want to take off, you can take off. But I want to have that conversation face to face with her, because, I think it's imperative that the officers back there, their buddies up. I mean, like I said, things change. You know, you can go from being a calm situation, Dave, to being completely mayhem in seconds, and that's how officers lose their life. So although she was, you know, she's, I think she understood the second car, but then I think there was maybe a third car, but then I also told, like, look, sometimes in the middle of the night it ain't a lot going on. Sometimes officers just like, hey, I'm gonna come over and just, you know, hey, what you guys, you know, actually they'll show up and there'll be a conversation about sports or something, you know, because Chief Lally's doing paperwork. Myself and the other officer, I'm like, hey, he's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, well, she's good. She's just going to write a warning or a ticket or whatever. And then the other officer and I start talking about sports or the kids. You know, it's an opportunity to kind of engage each other. And it just happened to be at this traffic stop, you know. So some people, you know, sometimes it's that. It's not always that. Sometimes there's a need. Sometimes there's a need for the third car. You know, I mean, it depends. If you have four people in a vehicle, and you do, you know, and that initial primary officer has indicators of criminal activity, you're going to need another body there. I mean, you know, to oversee the situation. Usually the first officer, the second officer can handle everyone in the vehicle, but then you need that third officer to kind of be overwatch. Like, he's just watching everything, like, and making sure no one else intervenes, especially now where people are videotaping everyone's traffic stops. Which they're allowed to do, but we want that other officer there to make sure that they don't get too, you know, close to the situation, so the officers can handle the situation appropriately without interference from someone who wants to videotape, or someone who's just upset that they got pulled over and And you see this all the time now, Dave, I'm sure. You can watch YouTube. You'll see it. I'm sure Chief Alley's offices have been on YouTube. My offices have been on YouTube because people videotape their stocks. But I like having that third officer there just to say, hey, you can videotape, but you have to keep a certain distance so you can't impede what we're doing here. This is our job. It's a law enforcement situation. You cannot impede it, but you can videotape. So imagine if it's just myself and Chief Lally, and then somebody comes up. I mean, it's almost impossible to do all these different functions that you're required to do at that time and be safe and do it when you got a third person or a fourth person showing up on your stop, and you don't have an officer there to kind of at least, you know, maintain some control there with the traffic stop. So I just brought that up because I know it's a thing. My daughter was just, she always asks me why that second or third officer shows up. Like I told her, a lot of different reasons. I mean, some could be as minute as, like I said, they were bored. They need to have a conversation with somebody. Hadn't talked to anybody all night. Or this is a situation where criminal activity could be afoot, and we need that extra body to make sure that all the officers can handle that situation safely, and all the officers need to get home every night. That's all there is to it. So you shouldn't be alarmed just because a third or fourth officer shows up on your traffic stop. You know, I'm just talking to our community now. Like, don't be alarmed by that. It doesn't mean that, you know, anyone thinks you're a terrible person or that you've done something illegal. A lot of times it's just making sure that the other officers are okay and they're secure on their traffic stop. And then most of the time they'll leave. Yep.
Chief Lally, you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, so the only other thing, too, and what Chief Bird said is 100% accurate, just, you know, spot on. And I think the other thing, too, is that for us, our department is relatively very young in terms of officers and their experience. So I think the last time, I want to say it's like 60% of our department has 10 years or less experience. And then when you break that down, we have a lot of officers with 5 years or less experience. So when you see that second officer, it's also probably because it's an opportunity for training. You have young officers, they stop they stop a car, they think it's just a routine traffic stop, which there is no such thing as routine. And all of a sudden, let's say it's an impaired driver, and this is the first time that somebody has to deal with somebody, you know, and it's, you know, they have no idea, like, oh my God, this is the first time I'm actually going to do field sobriety tests on my own. This is the first time that I'm going to be like, just the process of even how they work through some of that. So a lot of times, you know, especially here in Elgin, it's senior officers. And by senior, you know, there's, you know, it's pretty interesting. We have a group of us that have a lot of time on, then there's a little bit of a gap. And then we have our middle group, which is about 10 to 15 years. And then there's another gap where you see about this 5 years. So these gaps, the issue is when you have those gaps, and if no one is giving any training and continual training, they still need that like constant training. They need the, you know, hey, I know I'm out of field training. I know I'm a police officer. I know that I've been entrusted to go handle calls, but this is the first time I've ever seen anything like this because I didn't get that experience. So you might see that as well. In Elgin, you know, it's common, you know, and to Chief Bird's point, sometimes it calls for more officers. Are they doing a felony traffic stop? Is there something more going on with the vehicle? And in the end, we want our community members to go home safe, and we want our officers to go home safe. So that kind of what bothers people a lot, because we get this. A lot of times people will say, why do you have, you know, this officer stop me and, you know, there's four other officers that showed up, and it's this very, they're inherently upset because they're being stopped. And now it turns into this bigger thing because it's this show of force that people think that there's, you know, a bigger thing. And now, you know, sometimes in some situations that does, you know, make that situation a little bit more stressful. So, you know, the officers are trained, their safety comes first, the community safety comes first. And if we need to have a couple more officers there just to ensure that, and we can work through it. And again, it's the why of, you know, what you're doing, you know, why I'm stopping you. This is what's going on. You know, body cameras, we all have body cameras. People can record us. We're recording. So those layers of safety too, that maybe 10 or 15 years ago wasn't there. There's also a comfort, I think, for the community to know that that interaction is being recorded. So if the officers have, you know, doing something that they shouldn't, they have remedies in place. They can make a complaint. They can, you know, express their concerns. But vast majority of the time, it might be a training thing. It might be they're just checking on their peer. And that's how they build relationships. You know,
relationship.
If you have to work with someone for 35 years or more, right, depending on where you, what, you know, where you are in your career, you know, you build relationships with people, like just like any department. Some of the officers, they're still people, right? They personally may not like someone. And when I say like, personally may not agree. This is not their, they're not going out to dinner with people off duty. They're not, but, you know, when they come to work and they are in this environment, which again, professional environment, we're colleagues supporting each other, you know, regardless of where we see, you know, our views and what we think and what we'd like to do, when we're here, we support, we encourage, we provide that support, right? You can't expect, you know, I have probably almost 300 people in this building. Not all of them are kind of getting along with each other, right? And it's not it's human nature, right? Like, you can go to Jewel.
Too many personalities.
Yes, too many personalities. But when the time comes where they're out doing their job, you know, there is a sense of not only duty, right? And but there's an obligation to ensure that, you know, we do look out for one another. And I think that that's a way that then sometimes, and I always tell officers, you know, you have to give each other an opportunity to get to know each other, because these snippets that people see of each other is not really maybe who they are. So go and talk to someone who does think differently than you. Or a lot of times people don't want to do that because they challenge you, right? So you're more of like, why do I want to listen to someone complain or tell me how awful I am, when it's just better just to go surround myself with people that they're in love with me and they think I'm wonderful, right? You don't grow as a person or as an officer if you don't challenge your way of thinking. So I encourage them, like, hey, and I tell the young officers, when you go into your field training, you're going to sit in a car with someone who is going to be very critical of you. They are getting paid to do that. That is their job. We pick people as field training officers who can be critical but supportive, right? But you're doing people a disservice if you don't tell them, hey, you can't do that. We need to look another way, because eventually they're going to be in a car by themselves and they're going to be like, oh my God, like what do I do? So I always tell them, don't take it personal. When somebody, and it's not an easy thing to do, when somebody criticizes, when somebody, you know, but you have to just take a moment and be like, all right, this person is doing this because they're trying to get me prepared for what we could never, we can do all this training, talk about it. Anything could happen at any moment. And you just, your hope is to make sure that the way that people have been trained, the philosophy that you're trying to instill, the constant reinforcement, that it clicks. But I can't prepare them for every single circumstance, right? Like, because it's life and people are human and it's human nature. So I think, you know, when people see that, if just taking a step back and thinking more about the human side of policing, right? Like, there's a little bit of camaraderie there, a support, you know, and just no different than if we worked in, you know, when you go to, I just keep bringing up Jewel Osco, because it's just, you see, like, sometimes you'll see the people that work there, they're standing outside and they're just, right, talking, and they're, no one's even going to complain about there, because they, who's going to complain about grocery shop, you know, people talking?
Yeah.
Now the police, they see officers talk, oh, look, you know, they're not doing their job. They're, wasted, right? Like, there's a little bit of the same thing. I know that we're at a higher scrutiny, as we should be. And I know that the microphone is on us, as it should be. But that 10-second pause to say, you know what? Those are two humans standing there, right? Two people who have and experience everything that maybe they do, right? So I think, you know, that's a good thing to push out to the community.
Yeah. Okay, and then before I go, I just want to say, and another way, like Chief Lally said, is, I mean, spot on with all the field training program and how people, our officers learn, because they learn by, you know, I mean, basically seeing someone else do something. So it's like, hey, that's a good example of how you do that traffic stop. Hey, you should come over here, you know, and look at this. Someone's doing field sobriety. You should come over here and watch how they, you know, how they perform field sobriety, how they give instruction. And then sometimes they, just for the, you know, like I said, for the community, you know, I mean, I can make a traffic stop. Chief Lally's from Elgin. She might not even know. She might pull up on me and just see me. She stops. Then you have a state trooper who's like, oh, wow, I see some lights. He does a flip. And then all of a sudden you have these three police officers from three different departments who all just checking on you. That's all they're doing. And even as an officer, when I used to get that question, why do you have, hey, look, at the end of the day, look, you're good. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just checking on me. They're just worried about my welfare. That can't be a problem. You, as a civilian, when you get pulled over, you should not have a problem with another officer checking on his partner or someone that he doesn't even know. He's a fellow police officer. They know how dangerous the job is. It's only common sense. And my last point would be, put yourself in our shoes, and you tell me that you wouldn't ask for the same thing if you were a police officer. And if you can look me in the face and say that, and then, you know, then okay. But I bet you, and I'm pretty sure about this, that you would want the same type of response from a police officer or one of your buddies if you were a police officer. I just know that to be true.